there were other students at school from New York who were Jewish, and we were referred to as those pushy New York Jews. Oh yes, we were. And
well, were you pushy New York Jews?
We were.
What does that mean? Or what did it mean to them?
Well, it meant, for example, that we were all progressive. I would not say that we were all Marxist or communist by any manner of means. I was, but the others weren't. But we were we were materialists. We fought against the school's orientation, which was very
conservative.
Well, what I'm trying to remember is Freudian, had a Freudian orientation, and Freudian orientation is a non-materialist orientation.
Explain that to me, please.
Freud said that everything was based on the id, the ego, and the superego,
yeah,
which was a construct that Freud developed, and that everything was based on that. And this was a theory that we did not accept. That basically we talked about people as whole human beings.
Okay.
And that's what I mean by materialist. That, you know, you were, in a sense, it's sort of like the holistic point of view today. Where Freud had everything divided up into categories and things were perceived and analyzed along those lines. So in our classes, where we were getting this Freudian interpretation and orientation, and remember, in social work school, mainly what you were learning was casework, working with individuals, rather than group work, although they did have group work. They didn't have anything around community organization in those days at all. Those are the three fields, supposedly, nowadays in social work school. And so we were mainly studying casework. Well, in casework, obviously, you're looking at what kind of individuals and how do you deal with individuals. So we were getting this not only in our psychiatry class, but in psychology classes, but also in your casework classes, what you were doing. And so we didn't just sit there and passively accept the interpretations that we were given. And I remember, you know, answering back these teachers and being very, you know, we were very proactive.
Outspoken.
Very outspoken and proactive. I mean, even if your teacher was giving a lecture and wasn't asking for a response and a comment, we did respond. And we did challenge. It was a big challenge to what the prevailing interpretation that we were being given.
Now, may I ask, interrupt to ask, did you know that this was, what, the philosophy? Or
no.
They didn't let you know ahead of time what you were in for?
No. And probably that wouldn't have made any difference. I forget how many. I think I was considering two schools at the time. I mean, I was living in New York, and you couldn't get a scholarship from every place. So, no, I don't think that was...
You know, I just don't know how that works.
But I would certainly venture that was the prevailing philosophy and an approach at most of the schools at that time. And so no, I did not know that. But I don't think, you know, in spite of the fact that it was, you know, it was a big, like, a dash of cold water in our faces, the fact that we were not, you know, that I wasn't alone, that there were a number of us from New York, and that we did, you know, we were pretty smart, and we raised good arguments, and I remember, you know, I don't remember feeling like isolated or, what's the word, you know, really ostracized by that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, because we had a lot of activities with our friends, and I lived with three other women. We had an apartment, and we had a hell of a time.
Oh, you lived off campus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, it was more money to live on campus. And we lived in an apartment, and we really had a ball. You know, I was there from the time I was 20 to 22, and we were all about the same age. Actually, didn't all have the same outlook, actually. Two of the women didn't. They came from much more conservative, philosophically conservative background. But my friend Lillian Wolf and I were...
Sure.
Anyhow, but we did... you know, anyhow, it was a good experience for me, because it absolutely broadened my horizons and made me see that, you know,
mm-hmm.
there wasn't just New York, I had come from a very homogenous atmosphere.
Yeah.
I guess. Anyhow, that's 41 to 43. Good question.
No time. Go for it.
Good question. Actually, when I was in high school, I was going to become, I think I thought about becoming a doctor. And I think, I'm not sure whether I got discouraged from that, or whether I just abandoned that myself, because when I got into college, I was in psychology classes where I was very impressed with a number of the teachers that I had at Brooklyn College. And their, you know, their approach and their philosophy. And I think that social work was like, the choice of going into social work was like a melding of my own sense of wanting to help people, which had always been part of my, you know, my, whatever the word is, my psyche.
Yeah.
And the fact that that would be a way of earning a living. So I don't remember thinking about becoming like a psychology teacher or anything like that.
You want a more hands-on as opposed to,
yes,
in terms of,
yes, yes, and that would you're right, and I think that's the other ingredient, that social workers are working directly with people. Yes, I mean, you hit it. After graduating from social work school, Don't ask me why I took the job project to New York. But it was a job at the Jewish Family and Children's Agency. And I worked there for a year. And again, I did establish an affiliation with the Communist Party, and was active in some community activity involving some union work, some work around factories. Again, I don't remember. And then the war had started in 41, actually, and I was very, very committed to being an anti-fascist, and I wanted to be part of the war effort. So I tried to get into the WAC. Yes.
I cannot believe that.
Now, what do you mean you cannot believe that? That was what people who were anti-fascist wanted to be part of.
To join the army?
Yes, I was. So anyhow, I tried to get into the Women's Army Corps. Is that what it was? What
the
WAC stood for? And they wouldn't take me because of my spinal curvature. So I didn't qualify. So instead, I joined the American Red Cross as a social worker. And I was assigned to the Chelsea Naval Hospital, which is just outside of Boston. And I worked there from 44 to 40, almost to 46. And then met my husband in Boston, and when we decided to get married, I asked for a leave, I don't know, not for very long, for a short period, so that we could go on our honeymoon, and I also wanted to finish my thesis, which I hadn't finished when I was in social work. I had done the research, but I hadn't finished. It was a group thesis, and I hadn't finished my own individual part. Mm-hmm. So I was asking, I can't remember. It wasn't a very long leave, maybe a month or so. And the Red Cross said no. So anyhow, I quit the Red Cross, and I did get married, and I did finish my thesis.
Did you get a honeymoon?
Yes, oh. And we went away. Anyhow, and I finished my thesis, much to the surprise of my advisor at social work school, who wrote me back and said, I thought you would never finish it. But there was a deadline, that was the point. There was a deadline. They gave you 2 years after you finished school to finish that, otherwise you would lose those credits that you had taken. So that was the that's what made me do it. So anyhow, I did finish it. And then for the next, from 46 to 49, we lived in Roxbury, Massachusetts, which was a mixed community. It was a black and white community, and it was a very integrated community that was where we were very involved with a lot of community action. And it was a really happy time because it was, very, very, really very fulfilling. And again, it was like I had never lived in an integrated community like that. And so it was again a new experience for me working with black people on a very, what felt to us like a very egalitarian or equal basis. And I was involved also with the Communist Party there. The activities were integrated, let's put it that way. And I worked at Sam, my husband, was going to art school, and we were living on the GI Bill of $45 a month.
Can you believe that?
No, really. It was, this was a long time ago, remember. But it was hard anyhow. And I think we got some financial help from my family. But I worked at a number, one very important, another important episode in my life. After we got married, I got a job at the Jewish Family and Children's Service in Boston. I always went to the Jewish agency. Well, at that time, actually, they supposedly had better working conditions and better pay than the non-sectarian agencies. So I worked there for about a year, and I was very involved with the United Office and Professional Workers of America, UOPWA, which was sort of the precursor or the forerunner of AFSCME and SEIU today. It encompassed actually more than just social workers. It encompassed people who are working in offices, a lot of insurance workers and professional workers. And then they also spread out and they started organizing department store workers. So Sam and I were very involved with the union, and I was elected the head of the Office and Professional Workers, a unit of UOPWA. And I, again, had a very rocky, well, let's put it this way, I was, again, a boat rocker at that agency. My style of working with individuals was to, well, scratch that.
I'm saying that.
Basically, my supervisor was always on me that I was not objective in the way in which I worked, because I would introduce elements from my own life that were appropriate in my work with the individuals that I was working with, and that I felt were appropriate, or I wasn't just bringing in personal incidents. And my supervisor was very critical of this, and so I had a very rocky time there. I also feel that my union activities were in large part the factor that led to the the very
kind of drew more attention to your technique than was warranted.
Yeah. Well, also there were a lot of union activities that we conducted, including having lectures and talks with people about the union. So I certainly brought union activities into the agency, and that I think that it was a big factor in the hostility that I got from my supervisor, because it was the only shouldn't say it was the only job in my experience where I had negative evaluations, which I felt were, you know, unwarranted.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I was fired from there after a year on the basis that my work was not satisfactory. And I did file an appeal with the Professional Association. At that time it was called the American Association of Social Workers. It was the forerunner of what's now the National Association of Social Workers. And although they were sympathetic to my situation and the concerns that I raised, there was really not very much that I could do, that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like no board or anybody that you could raise this with. I suppose they could have tried to take it to the board of the Jewish agency, because mm-hmm. agencies have board. But anyhow, it was, I was glad that I had done it, but it didn't avail anything to me. And so for the next 47 to 49, I worked at several non-related social work jobs. I worked for a union. I worked for the Meat Packers Union doing clerical work, which I was not very good at. And then I got a job at the Harvard School of Public Health, getting very, very lowly job. It was a short-term job finding housing for foreign students who were coming to study at the School of Public Health.
Oh, but look at all the people that you met.
Yes, it was very interesting. So I was, you know, interviewing people who were offering rooms or apartments at their homes to these students. And the one outstanding thing about that situation, which is probably worth recounting, is that one of the people who was offering rooms to a student who was talking to me said, "But you understand, I don't want any Jews referred to me for this, for these rooms." And I looked him straight in the eye and said, "You know, I am Jewish, and that man couldn't back out of the room fast enough." After I did that, so it was I was already pregnant at the time. So anyhow, I only worked there a short time, and I'm trying to. Oh, and I worked. I worked in the Progressive Bookstore in Boston for a number of months, which also was, you know, really fun. And then my daughters were born in February of 49 in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam was really going crazy trying to get, I was a clinic patient at the Boston Lying-In Hospital, but still there were some expenses, and he was working, besides going to school, he took on several extra art jobs to earn extra money to pay the hospital expenses. And he was also, besides finishing art school, he went to the Museum of Fine Art. They had a combined curriculum with Tufts University where you could take education courses and get your BA in education from Tufts at the same time that he was getting his Master of Fine Arts at the museum school. So he was doing that. And when he finished that, my parents had already gone out to Los Angeles, and they were singing a siren song to us to get us to come out there, telling Sam that he would be able to earn a lot more money as a teacher in California than Boston, which had very low wage town. And anyhow, so we came out to California. We did come out to Los Angeles in June. Our kids were 4 months old. I had twin daughters, I forgot to mention that. And when they were 4 months old, we took the 7-hour flight.
Airplane flight?
Yes. I don't know.
Then you got to wind up the rubber band.
I don't know. Anyhow, I remember that was a nightmare flight because the kids were only months old, and we had to take along all these bottles of formula and food. And Sam and I didn't eat from the time we got on the plane at, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning until we got to Los Angeles at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember we were busy feeding
the kids.
Feeding the kids, and we didn't have time to eat. And then we discovered that Sam could not get a job right away. He had to take several courses to qualify for, I don't know if they had an emergency credential at that time, but to qualify for a credential in elementary school, he had to take a course in Civic, California, Civics, and I forget. He had to take either two or three courses.
In Missions and California Indians.
Yes. And so we were in a very difficult situation. And so my parents really supported us. That is to say, they lent us the money, and we kept a running tab on the money that they were lending us, and eventually we paid back some of that money, because remember, we were still, because he had he went to UCLA, so we still were getting the GI Bill. Anyhow, he finally got a job in the Down East schools as an elementary school teacher after he finished his courses. And when the kids were 3 years old, we still were struggling because we were trying to pay my parents back, and teachers, you know, we're not getting that great a salary, but he loved teaching. And then we decided that it really would be helpful if I could work. And so I didn't want to go back. I was determined not to go back into social work after my disastrous experience in Boston, at not being objective enough. And so I discovered that I could qualify as a nursery school teacher with my background in social work. And so I worked as a nursery school teacher in co-op nursery schools from the time the children were 3 until they were 53 to 56. I worked as a co-op nursery school teacher, and then
in Los Angeles,
in L.A., actually in the Valley and in the San Fernando Valley, and in West Los Angeles, in Mar Vista, and I enjoyed that, but it was hard. It was, instead of having one boss, you had 40 bosses. The parents in a co-op nursery school, the parents are the board, and they basically assist the teacher. You don't have any assistants except the parents, but the parents also determine the curriculum.
Mm.
And I was active in the Nursery School Teachers Union. It was an SEIU local. And And I was active in that. We were trying to organize other co-op nursery mm-hmm. school teachers into the union. And then in the summer of 56, my friend told me about a summer job as a social worker at Mount Sinai Hospital, mm. Mount Sinai Clinic, I should say, in Boyle Heights. And she said, you know, it's really a nice...